Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 8th of November. Welcome to the Poetry Show, broadcasting on Enlighten Radio, which can be found at www.enlightenradio.org. And we always have a player available, playing pretty much 24/7, not entirely, at player.enlightenradio.org. And we are currently podcasting this poetry show, as well as several others. And the podcast can be found at podcast.enlightenradio.org. My good friend and the true host of this program, Janet Harrison, is here, and she has introduced some poems today on the theme of rain. And Janet, why don't you take us out into the shower or wherever we're headed?
Yes,
this morning.
Well, the Eastern Panhandle is in West Virginia. It's been in near drought conditions, and we've been under voluntary water restrictions. So I thought I'd do a show on rain and maybe encourage the clouds. But right now it's absolutely clear, blue, not a cloud in the sky. It's not going to rain today.
Right.
But our first poem is from the brilliant African-American poet of the Harlem Renaissance, Langston Hughes. It's a very simple poem, but I chose it because there's not many poems that celebrate urban rains. And this is a poem about rain in the city. And it's called April Rain Song. It's very short, so I'm going to read it twice. So this is Langston Hughes. Do you have anything you want to say about Langston Hughes, John, before we start?
No, not before we start. No. Oh, okay, this is I will April. Say one thing. I did. Yesterday was November the 7th, and a friend of mine published a poem of Langston Hughes, published many, many years ago on November 7th, honoring the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes, well, Langston Hughes was a very interesting man. He died in 67 of prostate cancer. April Rain Song. Let the rain kiss you. Let the rain beat upon your head with silver liquid drops. Let the rain sing you a lullaby. The rain makes still pools on the sidewalk. The rain makes running pools in the gutter. The rain plays a little sleep song on our roof at night. And I love the rain. So I'm just going to read this one again.
It's yeah, very read simple. One again. Poem.
April Rain Song. Let the rain kiss you. Let the rain beat upon your head with silver liquid drops. Let the rain sing you a lullaby. The rain makes still pools on the sidewalk. The rain makes running pools in the gutter. The rain plays a little sleep song on our roof at night. And I love the rain. And one of the things I love about this poem is you couldn't get away with it in a workshop. They jump on that last line, that first line, let the rain kiss you, and say it's a cliche.
Yeah.
But in the whole context of this poem, because of the simplicity of the poem, I think it works.
Yeah, I think it's what I liked about it was that for each line he did, I had a memory, or I felt like I had a memory for each line. Maybe I missed one. I don't know. That a memory associated with each line of the poem, in which I felt exactly that way. You know, I mean, we experienced rain in each of those different sensations, or, you know. And so, yeah, it's like you're with him there. And I remember, you know, I loved the rain at night, too, as long as it didn't, you know, flow into the tent. But other than that, yeah, it's a comforting poem. I mean, it's not about the flood that came from the rain, so which I understood is the biggest cause of insurance losses every year. damage from bullets.
Yes, I remember when we first moved to Harper's Ferry, and we asked about flood insurance, and the insurance agent just looked at us and said, if you need flood insurance, it'll have been 40 long days and 40 long nights.
Oh, right. Okay. Really, I know. If the water rises that high, oh boy. Anyway, I know. Well, we're on a hill here in Harpers Ferry, Bolivar. I'm a little bit higher up the hill than Janet, which before the Civil War would have meant I was a little higher status than Janet.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there was a bit of a pecking order on the...
Yes, but your town was called Mudfort then.
I know, but that's, I'm told, because of the accuracy of the youths that threw mud balls down at the itinerant workers' families in the lower part of Harper's Ferry, and they would have big battles. That's how they supposedly got to be called the Mudforts. Actually, you know where the little game store is in Bolivar, right next to Harper's Ferry? Next to 7-Eleven?
Yes, I do.
That used to be a pub called Mudford's.
Yes, I remember that.
You know, so... Oh, it was called that when you got here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the only other reference, I think, is there's a town down off Old Furnace... Excuse me, a street down off Old Furnace Road called Mudford's, too. But... All right. So... Enough of the Mudfords. I'm sorry. Move on to the rain.
Okay. A little sidetracked there.
Oh, well, by the way, I couldn't read the poem on the New Yorker because my subscription or my number of free articles appears to have expired. But
okay, well, I'll read that one.
Okay.
Do you want to read the Sarah Teasdale poem then?
I can. I'll do that whenever you want me to. Yeah.
Sarah Teasdale was very popular in her lifetime. She's kind of fallen out of popularity now. But I really like her work. It's got great simplicity and clarity are the two words that are used for her use of classical forms. And she's very good with rhyme. Her rhymes are very, even when they're exact, don't jump out at you and clobber you. They work out very well. So if you want to read There Will Come Soft Rains, which is kind of the opposite of a comforting poem.
Say a little bit more, because I gotta go get it back here on my...
Okay.
Sarah Teasdale, there we go. Okay, I'm there now.
Okay, There Will Come Soft Rains. And you might be more familiar with that phrase from the Robert Bradbury story. I think it's from the Martian Chronicles.
That's true. Oh, come soft rains. Is that a... He must have been referring to her because he was...
He was referring to this poem.
Yeah, he's a very literary guy. All right, so this is called There Will Come Soft Rains. Wartime. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground and swallows circling with their shimmering sound. In frogs in the pools singing at night, in wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their whims on a low fence wire. And not one will know of the war, not one will care at last when it's done. No one would mind, neither bird nor tree, if mankind perished utterly. And spring herself, when she woke at dawn, would scarcely know we were gone. I love that poem. It's so timely right now. And I mean, I won't even go anywhere near the outrageous headlines in the news this morning because it would just ruin the spell that her poem casts. But I'm may it cast its spell on many more before we all pay a terrible, terrible price. All right.
Give me a sec. I want to pull something up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I like the way that she... no one would mind, neither bird nor tree, if mankind perished utterly. It really brings to mind a... but how big a difference it would make in the world. Since I was listening to a geology lecture by a guy from University of Minnesota the other day, and he was saying that of all the earth-moving, landscape-changing forces like glaciers, oceans, weather, wind, you know, occasional impacts from planetary or solar system objects, that human engineering, labor, and earth moving has had the greatest impact of any other force over the past several hundred years, at least, anyway. So it's, you know, that line in the poem, no one would notice. I think they might notice. Certainly a decline in the rate of seismic activity, quote, end quote, seismic activity.
Hey, our next poet, if we're ready to move on, is Don Patterson. And Don Patterson was born in Scotland, Dundee, Scotland. And he found a band, a jazz folk band called Lammas, and made a lot of success. But then he got captivated by poetry, and he studied poetry for a year before he began to write and publish in earnest. He's published a number of books. He's won all kinds of awards. Every book he's published has won some kind of an award. He's been very, even though I didn't know him before I found this particular poem, he's won numerous awards in the United Kingdom, and he's done different translations. He's done a translation of Rainer Maria Rilke's Sonnets to Orpheus and a translation of the Spanish poet Antonio Machado, which he called, translating Machado, he said, was like writing piano transcriptions of guitar music, which I thought was a beautiful description of translation.
Right. It is good.
So let me find his poem, and then we can launch. This is the one you weren't able to read. I'm sorry.
No, it's just I get a certain number of free New Yorker articles a month, and, you know, mine ran out, so.
Oh, go back. Oh, I should punch this stuff out. I keep saying that every time.
Well, while you're doing that, I think I'm going to just announce that later you can comment on that. I think our local friend and poet and Quaker, Sue Silver, has published a book of poetry, and also, I'm told, won a pushcart prize. Is that true?
I hadn't been told
today, and I just, I know. Okay, folks, it could be a rumor. We'll clarify with Sue later, but it wouldn't surprise me. She's a
very nice prestigious poet. Yeah. Okay, this is a short poem, and this is about rain and film, which is why I thought it was very interesting. This is by Don Patterson, the Scottish poet. It's not a long poem. Well, I'll read it. I love all films that start with rain. Rain braiding on a window pane or darkening a hung out dress or streaming down her upturned face. One long thundering downpour right through the empty script and score. Before the act, before the blame, before the lens pulls through the flame to where the woman sits alone beside the silent telephone. And the dress lies ruined on the grass. Or the girl walks off the overpass, and all things flow out from that source along their fatal watercourse. however bad or overlong, such a film can do no wrong. So when his native twang shows through, or when the boom drips into view, or when her speech starts to betray its adaptation from the play, I think to when we open cold on a rain-dark gutter running gold, with the neon of a drugstore sign, and I'll read into its blazing line, forget the ink, the milk, the blood, always washed clean with the flood. We rose up from the falling waters, the falling rains, own sons and daughters. And none of this matters. And this was published in the New Yorker in May 26, 2008.
Well, now, how do you, that last line, that blew me away, because it sounded like it all mattered, but tell me how.
I think he's saying the mistakes don't matter. When his native tongue shows through, or when the boom drips into view, or when her speech starts to betray its adaptation from the play. And this is a poem that rhymes A-A-B-B, each verse, mm-hmm. but even so, it reads very modern,
right,
and not archaic.
Right. Okay. I thought it was
so
spectacular.
I think he's saying he'll forgive the poem any mistakes because it starts with the rain, and he loves Paul. He loves films that start with rain.
Films that start with rain. I mean, we're
yes.
not their name, but the actual opening scene is a storm.
Yes.
Key Largo. Well, I guess that one ends with rain, but interesting. That's interesting. Well, is it true that rain, I mean, for example, rain is just one kind of weather. And just from, you know, like a poetical themes that could arise from weather. Of course, there's a big range. But so different weather formations like a glacier or a rain, different parts of the hydrologic cycle. Let me put it that way, okay? You know, you have oceans, you have rain, you have, you know, clouds, you got, you know, the storms, rivers, oceans, lakes. So if we went through each one of those, would the poem or the poetry that surrounds or that each one, you know, kind of focuses on or reflects upon, would the nature of the actual object come through differently? Would you know more about each one, even though the poetry, the poetical inspirations of each one in 100 poets or 10 or how, whatever, would open up a universe in itself of, right? So I'm just wondering, but in the end, are we writing about, we're not really writing about weather. Maybe. Well, tell me about, have you written a poem yourself on weather events? I mean, because you're practiced in this, and
not usually. I don't usually focus on weather, but I like this because of the rain in the film. There were all three different poems. The first poem was just an urban rain, and Sarah Teasdale's poem was almost an apocalyptic rain.
Sure was.
You know, during the war, and then this poem is about film. And I thought that it was very appropriate, the way he talks about, you know, braiding on a window pane or darkening a hung out dress or streaming down her upturned face. We've all seen films that start like that in the rain, you know, the thundering downpour, you know, night through, you know, the empty script and score. So he's saying the score and the script aren't particularly good, but the rain redeems it. This opening scene of rain. So that whenever the film makes mistakes later on, it doesn't matter. which I thought was an interesting perspective. I thought just technically this poem was very interesting, the way it manages to rhyme without being too obvious.
Right. That's almost sounds
sing-songy.
Right. Right.
Which can happen with rhyme, especially an AABB rhyme. And then the last line, you know, and none of this matters, just makes you stop and think and want to start and reread the poem all over again and see what he's talking about.
Well, you know, now the normal rhyme in a blues song is A-A-B-B-C-A-A, I think. Yeah, C-A. So
this has not related. Maybe a little bit with blues.
Huh? Say what?
It has a little bit to do with blues then. With right. The A-A-B-B.
Yeah, so
anyhow, I thought it was very interesting. And like I said, this poet has won all kinds of awards, even though I wasn't familiar with him. He's a Scottish poet.
Well, it was very, I thought that it read beautifully. And the images were just, kept me up. The close was, it caught me by surprise. But if I hadn't.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the close either.
But I mean, that's one of the great things about good poems. And when you're reading them, is that you know they do surprise you, and you know you have some sense that when the poet was writing, whatever they you know came to mind, kind of surprised them too. and it's a good feeling that you know when you see some association of images or feelings or words that you have used a lot, but you never saw that association from before. And, you know, takes you in a new direction, which is, well, we got to go somewhere anyway. Motion is constant. So, you know, so new ideas are probably healthy. But you have me, on the subject of this kind of poems, so when you were taking poetry courses, are the assignments sometimes to compose poems on a particular theme or object, or you know, here's a giant flower, write a sonnet on it. Kind of
sometimes
thing.
But not often. I didn't get assignments like that very often. In the pure lead groups that I'm in, we create assignments each week in case people want to write to assignments, and sometimes there are assignments like that in that group, but not in my actual formal training.
All right. Okay. Well, I think it was I love the poems. I was especially moved by Sarah Teasdale, but and I was lifted up by Langston Hughes, and I thought it was.
I have one more by D.A. Powell.
Oh, from the Power Review. Okay, good.
And this was the one that actually made me start about thinking about a rain show, because I found this poem in the Paris Review, and I absolutely loved it. D.A. Powell's American poet from Georgia, lived in Georgia, has a master's from the MFA from Iowa, you know, did all the usual credentials. This poem was in the Paris Review, D.A. Powell. And it's called As for What the Rain Can Do. And that's just an amazing title to me. You know, you stop and think about that title, As for What the Rain Can Do. And then you listen to this list. It's a list poem. As for what the rain can do. Wash me in blossoms yet to come. Lift my boat. Flood the rice fields where the egret lands. Complex math. rinse off a beach, turn on a dime, give you something to think about, feed an aspiring stream, tell you by thunder it's coming, stand you up, play a little music on the rooftop, get a body good and wet, open the golden tulips, mix us a drink.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
So I thought that that was just a very powerful opening as for what the rain can do. And I think that that would be a good assignment for people to start as for what the blank can do. You know, fill in the blank, put in something, and then write a poem about it.
Right.
List a poem like this. And put in lines that are that make, you know, like flood the rice fields where the egret lands is a rain poem. But then complex math is kind of a little joke.
Yeah, fluid dynamics. Is that what that's referring to?
Yes. It's off a bench, you know, turns on a dime, turn on a dime. Right. Give you something to think about. Feed an aspiring stream. Tell you by thunder it's coming. Stand you up. Certainly that's true. Play a little music on the rooftop. Get a body good and wet. Open the golden tulips. Mix us a drink.
It's perfect. Yeah. I mean, what an inspired moment there that was. Mix us a drink. Great close. Very good. I was, you know, just wondering, you know, when we, there's a lot of poetry that focuses on rivers.
Mm-hmm. There is.
And, you know, partly because of its motion, right? Motion changes the meaning of many things.
And there's a lot of songs about rivers.
Yep. And oceans also have their own culture, right? I mean, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need a boat to feel raindrops, but you might need one to go out and experience the ocean. So I've just been thinking about how rich our traditions in literature and poetry are with respect to rivers and oceans, big storms, there's a lot of movies about disasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
in our culture. We seem to, like it that we can leave the theater and apparently have survived the disaster in life, but maybe not. All right. Well, those are wonderful poems, Janet. I think that's a great theme for today. Do you want to close with any announcements of any kind?
No, I'm fine. I just wanted to, I was trying to pull up something, but it's evading me.
You may need a...
He was in a Paris Review. D.A. Powell was interviewed about writing this poem. And he said it began, the rain was falling down. And he was looking out the window at the rain and it just sort of fell out.
It feels like it kind of sort of fell out, like our guest from last week was talking about how, just at a certain point, it just sort of pours out and then you have to work it over quite a bit. But there's this,
Anyhow, he says, I let the poem tell me what it wanted. I let it have its way with me. What a phrase.
Yeah.
Maybe
I
encouraged it. When one has gone into a wishing silence, one doesn't know what wish will come to fill it. I love that last sentence in his interview. When one has gone into a wishing silence, one doesn't know what wish will come to fill it.
No, that's true. So, the moment that is pregnant, is with a you know, something unseen before. Could be a powerful moment. Anyway, thank you so much for the rain poetry. Everybody, folks, we're available here on this. We usually do this at 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, but occasionally we reschedule. Anyway, the podcast will be up today. I got my little automation system just cooking, and it's easy and fun to do. All right. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.